Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And these days we're going through the Bible, of course, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And I get to comment on the Bible as I go through it because it's my show. And anyway, this is a highlight of my day, and I feel like my work begins after I have this much fun, as I really enjoy. I love the Word of God. I love the Scriptures, and I delight to spend time with it. And to make it even more fun, I get to get behind this mic and talk to other people about it. So we also have a chat room if anyone wants to take part in the study that way. I will perhaps look at the chat room during the break to see if there are any messages. So if you want to say anything about the study, you might want to hold off to just before the bottom of the hour break, and I'll take a look over there. Anyway, we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We've been going through the whole book of Corinthians, which is what we like to do here. Is Once we pick a book, we like to go through it, with the exception, perhaps, say, of the book of Psalms, where I decided to cover it 50 chapters of it at a time, because it is such a lengthy book. But 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24, it says, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all." And that's where we finished up last week. "And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." Now Paul said, "Seek earnestly that you may prophesy," and that is to testify of the Word of God, to testify the testimony of Yeshua, Jesus our Messiah, as the authorized version says. It gives us a definition for prophecy. It says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Like I said, that from the authorized version, the authorized King James version. So we have a definition for prophecy there. So when we get instruction to prophesy, we know that it's for edification. It's not just about telling the future. It's not just about that, but it is the testimony. So, verse 26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." And here we have a good rule for all of you out there that are shunning the corporate church, the state church, the church of state. Basically, that's what it is. The churches have joined the state. All of the Protestants have now become evangelical, ecumenical, and have become members of the state. And so you go to a state church if your church has signed up for state benefits. Because who is your benefactor but your God? Your benefactor is your master. Whoever you look to for benefits is your master. That's right. Is there another way to look at it? You know, it's when you wean yourself from the benefactor that benefactor is no longer your master. Because as long as you want those benefits, you have to do the bidding of your master. And that's what these 501c3, we've signed up as state corporation churches, have done. They have signed up for benefits. And this goes, and all these churches need to secede. That's right. They need to secede from the state so that they can have only one master, you know, because no man can have two masters. He'll serve one and despise the other. And that's what they're doing. They're despising Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, because they want the benefits of their earthly masters. Otherwise, why would they have not signed up? Why would they have signed up if they didn't want the benefits? So as long as they take the benefits, that means they have to do the bidding of their master. And that's the same for people, too. You've signed up for benefits. You have to do the bidding of your master. You went down, you got yourself a Social Security card, and you signed up for old age benefits and whatever benefits that come with applying for that number. Because you don't apply for the number. You apply for the benefits, and they give you the number, although they may have deceived or tricked you into thinking you needed this number for something. Well, yes, you did need the number to identify you as one of theirs, because they are now your master. You're looking to them for benefits. But throw off the benefits. You know, the scripture says, forget none of my benefits. Well, when you look to something else for benefits, then you're forgetting his benefits. We need to all repent and come out of these benefit systems where we've signed up for benefits from a new master, from an earthly master, and some from fictitious entities such as the Social Security Administration. That's not even a man. And it certainly is not a god, is it? Unless your god makes your law. Uh-huh. Yes. When you look to the law form that you hold up as the highest, you're looking at your god, the one who gave you that law. So we leave off the corporate churches and we go home, because we can't find any unincorporated churches, or they're so sparse. It's like, if I want to go to an unincorporated church where I live in my undisclosed location in the Southern Sierra foothills here, where the studios of the First Amendment Rights Media Group is, I have to travel an hour to go to a unincorporated church where they have, well, they separated themselves from the state like 15 years ago or more. And they just came out. They heard the issue and they said, hey, let's look at the Bible and see what it has to say. And said, oh, you know what? We didn't pray about that decision. Because if we had, I am sure that our God would have said, yeah, go ahead, sign up with Arnie, you know, or Gray Davis, or whoever was the governor. Let him be your God. Serve two masters, right? That would have been, if they had prayed about it, that's what God would have, that's what the Almighty would have said. My benefits aren't sufficient for you. You need the benefits of idolatry of the state. Yes, not. That is not what the answer would have been. He would have said, forget none of my benefits. And that's what it means to forget his benefits. So we're separating. And we need to, how do we conduct ourselves? You bring, as it says here, how is it then, brethren? This is the question. How do we operate in the congregation? How do we operate in our called out assembly? How do we operate in the ecclesia, be it in our living room? And we're meeting from house to house. Because as the society, as the beast, the second beast, which is the United States of America, sorry for all of you that have a hard time believing that, which spoke like a lamb, had all these lamb-like principles that it was founded on, starts to speak like a dragon, we're going to find of necessity. And yes, all this incorporating the churches, this is all just part of it. Speaking like a dragon, changing, morphing into this dragon-like creature and putting off all of the lamb-like qualities that it was founded upon. We're going to find the necessity to home church. We may even find the necessity to home church in secret, as they do in some other nations. It's coming. There's just, prophecy is set in stone. The Heavenly Father revealed beforehand what would happen, and it's going to happen. The scripture has not been wrong, and it will not be wrong. I'm not saying, I don't know how much time we have. We may have several hundred years. A lot of people don't agree with me on that. We may have a time where we can have a reprieve. Perhaps we could have a turning back. Perhaps we could have a revival. Who knows what will happen? Who knows what the Heavenly Father will bless us with? If we turn to him, it's not going to be a national prayer day that does it. And then everybody goes back about their regular idolatrous business. No, It's putting on righteousness. That's what will change this nation. It's not writing your congressman. You know, it's not voting for the right guy. If your life doesn't change, then nothing else is going to change. Righteousness exalts a nation. And that's why I'm preaching this message. We need to clean up our lives. We need to live pure and holy lives. We need to get on our knees. We need to confess our sins. And we need to cry out to the Heavenly Father, say, I'm tired. I don't want to do the things that displease you anymore. Help me write your law upon my mind and my heart, that I might not sin against you. Help me to do only the things that please you. So we start our home churches. And the Father, He has given us in His word here, instruction. And listen to this instruction. How is it then, brethren? How will it be? How do we operate in our home churches? You know, in our called out assemblies, wherever they may be, even in the, if you have an unincorporated church, a church that has come out of that and put off and repented from that system. But I'll tell you what, whenever you separate from the beast, you got to back away. I'm talking about back away. You don't turn your back on the beast, because a beast is a dangerous thing. When you come out of, whether it's a personal secession, whether it's a church congregation that is seceding, whether it's a state, it doesn't matter. See, that's just the South. You know, could have learned a lesson there. They should have backed away. And perhaps they did. I wasn't there, so I don't know. But you need to back away slowly from the beast. That's right. You need to keep your eye on it while you're backing away until you get yourself free from it. Personal secession, same thing. When you finally repent of taking the benefits of the state, of even signing up for the benefits, so because you thought you needed to, because you just wanted to work and provide bread for your family. As the scripture says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, number one. And any man who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel, number two. So they take these two good things that you desire to do, and they deceived you into doing something evil, so that you could do good. Oh, our enemy is cunning. So when we come together, let's move on. When we come together, how is it then, brethren? And this is how it should be. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So here's the rule. If you want to come and meet in the ecclesia that I meet in, you're going to bring something with you. Every man should bring something. And if there are a few, then every one of those men need to bring a few things. Everyone should bring a psalm. Say, hey, I've got a song. You know, let's sing this one. So, and see, what we do now, what they do in the corporate church, you don't bring nothing anymore, because you're going there and you want them to have it all together for you. You just show up, you know, it's like you drive up to the drive-in movie and you just plant yourself behind somebody else's vehicle and you watch the screen and they give it all to you and you bring nothing. How is it then when you come together, every one of you, hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, bring something with you. That means you're active in your life, that you're meditating on the Word of God, that you're singing a psalm and making a melody in your heart to our Heavenly Father and His Son throughout the week. You're praising Him in your life and in your thought life and with song. Throughout the week, you're meditating on His Word. And if you're doing these things, you're going to have something to bring with you. And if you're not doing these things, you got nothing to bring. Why even come? So how is it then, brethren, when you come together? We're at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 26. Bring a psalm, bring a doctrine, bring whatever gift, hath a tongue, hath a revelation. If the Father reveals something to you, bring that too and share it. Hath an interpretation. Be able to give, to impart an understanding of the things that have been revealed to you. Let all things be done unto edifying. If it doesn't edify in the called out assembly, in that ecclesia, then don't bring it. We don't need confusion. You're just going to babble in unknown tongues, be they real or fake or whatever. We don't care. We can't understand it. Now, if you can bring it, and you can babble in an unknown tongue and say, here's the interpretation, well, then bring it. Verse 27, if I speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. And here's, you know, I've been in these assemblies where they have, you know, everybody, you know, is, you know, you got 10 people just blah, 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 blah. And they didn't read this, did they? No, they didn't read it at all. And perhaps this ain't such a big deal, but apparently it is in some places, and apparently it was here in Corinth. So Paul's still talking about tongues. Must have been a big deal at Corinth. But he says, let it be by two or three at the most, and that by course. And do you know what that means by course? It means one at a time. That's what it means. Then that by course, one at a time. We don't need 10 people going blah, 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 blah. And nobody can understand what they're saying. And then they all quit. But Paul says here, and that by course, and let one interpret. In other words, if no one's going to interpret, don't waste your breath. That's not done unto edifying. If someone comes in who's unlearned, well, they're just going to think you're nuts. And as I talked about yesterday, that is because the very thing happened to me. And if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, so let's get back to the meat. And we can just leave out the tongues part. So we said, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So everyone brings something. And skipping verse 27 and 28, which we just covered, the tongues thing, to 29, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. So here's what you have. Men, heads of their families, elders in the word, meditating daily upon his word. Okay? Speaking the word to their own families throughout the week. Speaking the word to people that they meet. Preparing a message in their heart throughout the week. Meditating on his word. Turning it over and over. Comparing scripture with scripture. Receiving revelation from our Heavenly Father. We are men. We are men of God, and we're meeting in the ecclesia, in the called out assembly. And there's two or three of us, and we know who we are, because we love the Word of God. We love to talk about it. We love to compare notes. We love to share the revelation of His Word. We delight in it. And so these are the prophets. Remember, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahshua, our Messiah, of Jesus Christ, as it says in the Authorized King James Version. We are the prophets. It's not just the guy on the apocalypse comedy who said, oh, I do prophecy, and, you know, just whatever, what happened in the news, and that guy raised taxes, so he must be the raiser of taxes, and he's got it all wrong. Something's wrong with his life. Otherwise, he could see the truth. Perhaps he's just straining at a gnat. I don't know what a lot of these people's problems are and why they do what they do, but I know they have it wrong because I have a template for prophecy, and what they're saying doesn't fit in with the template that our Heavenly Father has given us. So I can judge them wrong, and I know that the judgment is true because it's by His Word. So let the prophets speak two or three. So instead of the one man show up there, the prophets need to take their seat up in front, you know, or wherever they're at, however they're seated, perhaps like a round table thing, you know, where they're sitting there, and one will speak and the others will judge what he said. That's right. And you're going to have their words out. They're going to be flipping the pages and looking things up. They're going to find out if that what that man said is true, and the whole congregation is going to hear it. So let the prophets speak two or three. But men, you have become lazy. You just want to show up on Sunday or whatever day you meet, and you just want the man that you're paying through your not-for-profit corporation. After all, it is his job. You have a hireling up there to say the words, whatever. I like what makes me think of what Kent Hovind said about what the church that he grew up in. He said they had two pulpits, one from which the preacher preached, and the other one they had the Bible. He would walk over there and read a couple scriptures from the Bible, and then he would go back to the other pulpit and preach the message. Anyway, that thought just went through my head. It strikes me as funny when I think about it. But that's not the picture. That is not what we have here in 1 Corinthians 14. Let the prophets, you know, let the teachers, you know, those who are in the Word, those who testify, let them speak two or three and let the other judge. So they're supposed to be up there. Each one speaks in turn, and the others judge what they say, perhaps comment it or look something up or say, that's not quite right because of this and this and these scriptures here. And so everybody is edified. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. That's right. You take turns. You practice courtesy. You're not drowning each other out. If I'm saying something and another brother, is something's revealed to him, is sitting two chairs down from me, he wants to speak up, I'm supposed to hold my peace. Try that in the congregation where you attend, or at your corporate church down on the corner of Incorporated Main Street and Governor Way down there. Okay, we'll pick up here and continue our exposition of how we're supposed to operate in our congregations when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.